what God knew about Abraham. The other day, and some of my messages I get are from reading I do, and this one phrase stuck right out at me in a way it has never done before, and I've read it many times. In verse 19, when God said about Abraham, "For I know him." And he was going to tell some things that he knew about Abraham. And these things are listed here in the scriptures, and I have their passages listed for you there in the outline. It's quite a thing when God will say, "I know him." Especially when God will say, "I know him for very good reasons, for positive things in his life." And the things that we're going to talk about this morning are things that are very positive about Abraham. The Bible tells us that the things that are written in Scripture are written for us. They're for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might find hope. These things are written for us to learn from them. I've shared with you, and I will probably share it many times over, because it was drilled into me when I was in Bible college, that the president of our college would say, one thing people fail to learn from history is to learn from history. I heard that so often, I thought, maybe I need to learn from history. And this passage here, and the verses we're going to share, are history verses. I heard a teacher in college say, look at history in this way. It is his story. You know, we like to hear the stories from people, don't we? As a pastor, I like to hear people tell me when they were born again. If they're married, I like them to tell me when they met and how they met and the circumstances around their lives. And I've heard a good number of varied stories over the years from our church members. And some were very embarrassed to tell me initially how they met or where they were when they met. But they got born again, and they don't go to some of those places or those places anymore. Well, that's a good thing. But I still like to hear where they were and what the circumstances were when they met, how they got married, and things like this. His story. Let's learn from his story here. Now, let me say something about Abraham. It does not, and God was not saying that Abraham was perfect in every way. He and Mary Poppins were not related. She was practically perfect in every way, but not Abraham. Matter of fact, twice Abraham gave deceiving statements about his wife, who she really was. He called her his sister, and there was that relationship, not a full-blood sister and brother relationship, but there was, by marriage, that relationship. And so it was a little misleading what he said, because she was also his wife. And he said that on two occasions. And it's interesting because his son Isaac would follow in his steps one time as well and do the same thing. Abraham had been told by God that God's going to make him the father of many nations. Matter of fact, it tells us in this passage we read here that the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. And in the book of Romans, it tells us that Abraham is the father of all who believe. And so when you're born again, and this takes further detail at a different time, but when you become born again, you are part of the commonwealth of Israel, my friend. And Abraham is the father of all who believe, and God was going to make him to be that. But at this time in his life, he was not the father of any of Sarah's children. And so Sarah and Abraham came up with a plan, and it started with Sarah. And she said, my handmaiden, Hagar, take her to be your wife, and perhaps she can have a child, and I will own that child because of her and you. So he marries Hagar, and she does give birth to a son named Ishmael. Now, that wasn't God's plan for what he was talking to Abraham about. And God still blessed Ishmael, but that was not the plan God had intended. So there are times when Abraham is just like the rest of us. He wants the will of God, and he tries to find his own way to do the will of God that is not the right way. We've all done that from time to time. We mean well, but we sure have messed it up occasionally. So Abraham's very common, like you and me. But the statement that I know him and the four things that I want to share with you that are true about him are phenomenal, that each of us could follow in our lives. And I like this. The first thing I list is Abraham would lead his family to God. When he says, "For I know him," he continues in that verse and says that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Israel that which he had spoken of him. He said, I know him, and he's going to lead his family to me as well. He's going to direct them to me. I like a guy like that, is what he was saying. I know that person. He is going to remember me to his family, meaning he wants them to know me as well. I would think that would be the prayer of every parent, wouldn't you? I began to pray for our children before they were even conceived and when they were in the womb. And I pray to this day there will never be a descendant of Mary and me perish and go to hell in the lake of fire, but that all will be born again. And all will love the Lord. And all will marry godly people who love the Lord and love them. And all themselves to be able to bear children. And have safety in childbearing, and labor, and delivery, and post-delivery. And for the little ones to arrive safely, and to be saved as little ones, and to be in good health. And if in the will of God they cannot marry, they then will be able to adopt. And I pray for the birth mothers and fathers to be saved if they're not yet. And for the birth mothers to have safety in childbearing and labor and delivery and post-delivery. And the little ones to arrive safely and to be saved as little ones and to be in good health. And for God to give all of our offspring and children the wisdom they need to raise their children. And I pray that they'll raise them and be the ones to raise them and see them raised. And that God will keep all of us from wicked things doing or having done in our lives. Murder, kidnap, rape, defilement, brutality, fornication, adultery, bankruptcy, wicked living, all the bad things, unnecessary diseases. That they'll be obedient to the will of God. Live where God would have us live. Do what God would have us do. Live in nice houses, safe neighborhoods, safe areas, and protect from fires and serious accidents. I pray for those descendants of us all the time. And it would break my heart to ever have a descendant of us not know our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And by his grace, God impressed upon my heart as a young man to teach our children his word. I begin to say Jesus to them when they were still in the womb. They probably couldn't make out what I was saying. But when they were born, I would hold them and I would tell them how much God loves them and tell them that God loves them more than I love them or we love them, but that we do love them. And I would quote John 3:16 to them. I wanted them to know the name Jesus before they knew Dada. God wants parents who have that kind of heartbeat. Billy Sunday was saved later in life, and saved from alcohol. One time before he got up to preach as an older man, someone told him the news, or he saw the newspaper clipping of one of his sons been arrested for being drunk. Billy Sunday's statement was, "Let the whole world go to hell, but God save my children." And it's not that he wanted the world to go to hell, but all he wanted his children to know the Lord Jesus as Savior. I know him, God said about Abraham, that he will command his children and his family after him to know me. Second thing God says or the Word of God says about Abraham, and that is that he believed the Word of God. That's chapter 15. I want you to look at those verses here. And I gave Becky the wrong verses. All right. I don't know where they're at right now, so I'm going to tell you what they say. Oh, I think it might be verses 1 through 12. No, that's not it either. All right. He told Abraham, count the stars, look at the sand, and I'm going to make you a great nation. And all the nations of the earth will be blessed because of you. And the Bible says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Hebrews 11 talks about that same thing with Abraham in the chapter of faith. And he was called the friend of God. Paul referred to Abraham as the friend of God because he believed the word of God. What do you think it does for God's heart when he knows you believe him? We're in a world that continually shows you that you cannot trust others. When I was a young person, there was something I was looking forward to so badly. I was anxious about it, and it was to see the Harlem Globetrotters play basketball in person up here at Western Michigan. I was living in Bangor, and I was so excited about going to that game. And I think it was the day of the game or the day before the game, a person called and said, I'm not going tomorrow to the game. Oh, I was so heartbroken. I'll never forget my stepdad saying to me, now let that be a lesson to you. Don't believe people. Don't trust them. And that was a hurtful thing. Fortunately, I found somebody else who was going and went and saw him anyway. But I heard the story my sister told one time of a father who had his little guy on a little ledge, jumping off. He said, Daddy will catch you. Now, this is a true story. So the little boy, trusting Daddy, jumped. And the Daddy pulled back. And the little boy fell and hurt himself. And the Daddy said, let that be a lesson to you. Never trust anybody. That's a stupid way to teach that lesson. And a very hurtful way, too. You know, early in life, at least, sometimes our concept of God is the picture of our dad. And certainly much of the concept we have of God, if we don't know the Holy Scriptures, is based on what we experience with other people. But God's Word is not going to let us down. God's Word is steadfast, and it's solid, and it's truthful. But so many people disbelieve the Word of God because they say, well, who wrote the Bible after all? And they have no concept of who God is and what he's able to do and how he's able to inspire. For all scripture is given by God's inspiration. I know we don't have the original document, but we've got a very reliable book right here that lives and abides forever. And Abraham was counted righteous because he believed God. Now, can God say that about you, that he knows you because of how you conduct your affairs? Can he say he knows you because you believe in his word? And the third thing, and I know I got the right passage on this one, Abraham would pray for those in need. I think this is interesting here. At the end of verse 22, it says, the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. As the men were going off, Abraham began to pray for those people of Sodom, Gomorrah. And let's listen to this prayer that he gives. I think it's rather interesting. A lot of verses here. Starting verse number 23. Abraham drew near and said, will you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Will you destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? It's a big city. If you can find just 50 righteous people, God, would you spare it for 50 righteous people so they don't have to die? And then he says to God, and I want you to remember that while he's praying this prayer, he's very respectful, but he's also very determined and very deliberate. God's not impressed by you and me beating around the bush in our prayer, by the way. Matter of fact, to show Moses how straightforward he was, he came right to the bush when he called him. In verse 25, that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Wow. That is saying something. But remember, he's very respectful. And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Nothing will happen at all for 50 people. Verse 27, Abraham answered and said, behold, now I taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. And can you think about that for a moment? Because God said, from dust we were and dust we go. Think about us. Dust. Having influence with God. Because he was that close to God. Verse 28. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And God said, if I find there 40 in 5, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. You see how respectful he is? When it says, come boldly before the throne of grace that we may have obtained mercy and find grace to help in time of need, doesn't mean that we come with our chest out and say, now you take hold of me, God. You take listen to me. I've got something to say to you, and I want you to listen. No, not at all. Abraham is very deliberate, and yes, he is bold, but he's very respectful and realizes who he is coming before God. He said, I'm only dust and ashes. Oh, for you even to listen to me, wow, do I ever deserve you? No, I don't, but I do pray to you. He said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Verse 30, peradventure there shall 30 be found there. And God said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure there shall 10 be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. Now, someone one time said, you sure could tell he's the first Jew. Jewing them down. But that's a man who prayed for people who had a need, who themselves weren't even praying about it, and probably weren't even concerned about it. We know they weren't, because even when he went to his sons-in-law to try to tell them what was going to happen, they seemed, that is Lot, that is, they seemed to be to him, he seemed to be as a man telling idle tales. They weren't concerned about the way they were living. That's part of what Jesus meant when he said the days will come as in the days of Noah, and they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. People were just carrying on with their lives. The same was here in Sodom and Gomorrah as well. They were just carrying on, and it was a wicked lifestyle that they had. So he went down all the way to 10. And the Lord went his way. And as soon as he left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place, he prayed for those. God said, I know him. He will pray for people. That's one of the reasons I made a determination years ago at the end of a Sunday morning service to give an invitation to come and pray. Perhaps for yourself or some things that were spoken about or not spoken about, concerns and burdens you have, but certainly for other people as well. There are people every week we're here who need your prayer. Some we know about, some we don't know, but you know about. And I do believe it's a very important time every week. And God said that to Solomon when the temple was dedicated, and God came to him after the prayer and said, I will be watching and listening to the prayer made in this place. Solomon had already acknowledged the guy did not dwell in temples made with hands, but this was still a place that God's heart was going to be at all the time, and he would listen and watch for the prayer made in that place. And that's why, because you go to a, and when you leave here, you're in a different world. We've got a good sign that says you're now entering the mission field, but you're in a Sunday afternoon, and everyone's got an agenda that you do, or something that you do. And your mind gets on other things, but not now. And that's why it's important, because there are people who need your prayers. And there's something about that moment of prayer, as a song says, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care, that you go to God on the behalf of yourself or loved ones or friends, others, maybe others who don't even want you to pray for them, don't even know you're praying for them, but you care. And God says, I know you, that you'll pray for them in their time of need. I hope that you'd be a person like that too. And then finally, God said, I know him. And that is that Abraham would obey the command of God. Chapter 17. Verse 9. He's going to do a new thing that had never been known before. God said to Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and your seed after you. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. You shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin. It shall be token of the covenant between me and you. He that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man-child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money, or any stranger which is not of thy seed, he that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man-child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath forsaken my covenant. Let's go to verse number 23. And Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day as God had said unto him. The very day God told him to do this, he did it. Abraham was 90 years old and 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, and Ishmael his son and everyone else. Now listen, friends. You circumcise a little boy, God said, when he's 8 days old, he won't remember it. How do you think it was for Abraham? Or Ishmael, who's just a teenager, or anyone in his household? You think that was easy? The only thing that made it easy was his commitment to God to obey his will. Because this was going to be a price to pay for sure. Every man here can understand that. I'm telling you, friends, it does take something to obey. But then there's one that's even beyond this one, and that's chapter 22. Now, I won't read the whole chapter for you, but this is an incredible passage here. Because Sarah gives birth to a son, and they name him Isaac. And then let's follow this in verse 1. It came to pass after these things. The word tempt is not the right word here. It's the word test. Put him to the test. And God did test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. Now, I want you to remember something. God already told him, your seed is going to be as the sand of the sea, the stars of the sky, can't be numbered. You're the father of all who believe, the father of many nations. And it's through Isaac, not Ishmael. All right? Remember, God had said this to him. So now, he says in verse 2, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now, I want you to understand what God is doing here. Because he's not only telling him to take his son, he's saying he's the only one of your heir that could be an heir. You love him. It's not just that he's a son and you just go through life. You love him very much. God is impressing upon Abraham that which Abraham already knew. His affection was so great toward his son. And remember, it was so great toward his son that he refused to let Isaac have a wife of the people where he lived. It had to be of the pure line from which whence he came. He loved him so. I want you to take him, and I want you to offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, I'll tell you. And look what it says in verse 3. Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac, his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, rose up and went into the place of which God told him. And then he saw the place. I'll continue the story verbally with you here. They get there, and Isaac asks, we've got everything we need. Where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb. And someone, preacher one time said, and God did through Jesus Christ, and that's so true. But as far as Abraham was concerned right now, this was going to be Isaac. So the Bible tells us that he bound Isaac, put him on the altar, and had lifted his hand for the slaying. When God's voice out of heaven said, Abraham, do not touch him. Wow. I can't even do it as well as the Bible says it. Verse number 11. Well, let's go to 10. Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. He said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know, again using that word here, I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket upon his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Now, God never wanted Isaac to be killed in that way, for sure. But that wasn't the point with God. The point was, are you willing to give up everything you have for me? Abraham was willing to give up his own physical relaxation through the circumcision and his own family for God. And by giving them up, he got them. And by surrendering, he received the blessing from God. So when God said, I know him, God was saying, there are incredible things about this man that every Christian on the face of this earth needs to understand and look to, and to ask himself and herself the question, can God say that about me? That I will do everything I can to lead my family to him. That I believe his word. I do not question his word. I believe him. That I will pray for those in need. And that I will obey the commands of God for my life. The Bible says that one day at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, we're going to give an account of ourselves to him. We're going to have to give a reckoning. But boy, is it a lot nicer thing if you can do it today. And come to him and say, God, I see this in Abraham, and I'd like to be that kind of person. I'd like to be the kind of individual that you could truly trust, and that you could say, I know that person, and I know how he's going to conduct himself, and it's going to be good. Or maybe you'd say, Lord, I haven't been that kind of person, but I want to be. And I would need your word, and I want you to guide me, and I want you to help me to be that kind of person. I will tell you this, my friend, the day's going to come that every one of us will have desired to have that opportunity and to be able to say, yes, I have obeyed. Yes, I have believed. Yes, I have prayed for others. Yes, I have cared for my own family and others to lead them to the Lord. We're all going to want to be there. There isn't a one of us who's going to want to look at our Redeemer one day and say, well, yeah, it wasn't that important to me then. Or I didn't care enough, didn't have enough time, or I wasn't obedient enough, or I just wouldn't take time to read about you in me. By the way, the Bible, even though there are a lot of warnings in it, it's still a love story. His story. Of his love for you and me. Where are you fitting today? Shall we pray? Our God and Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the honor of sharing it this morning. And I pray for each of us that we will look to it and see these things in Abraham and allow ourselves to go get closer to you like Abraham did. And so I pray in the next few moments that you'll work in every mind and heart, and that we will be obedient and have a heart for you. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, this morning when we go to prayer, or our invitation that is, I invite you to come to God in prayer. Maybe you need to talk to God about some things in your life, or maybe you need to talk to God about someone you know is away from him. Or maybe you need to pray for those who have needs today that you know of, or maybe others that you don't even know of. Every time, week in my major prayer time on the Lord's Prayer, I talk about people I don't even know and ask God to help them. Would you do that today? And I would want you to know that every time we give an invitation, if there's anyone here who does not know for sure, that if their day of death came this day, that they can know. And we'd like to show you from the scriptures how you can know you're on your way to heaven. And all you do then is just leave that pew and come down here and stand, and we'll have someone show you from God's word how you can be saved. Father, please bless these next few moments for your honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.